I hope you had a beautiful Pesach Sheni today. It was truly a wonderful holiday, as it is every year. And I hope you're looking forward to Lag BaOmer on Sunday. Motzei Shabbat, actually. It will start. Please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach. Ana B'Koach Gedulat Shemincha Tati Tzerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria of these six letters is 506, which is the same gematria as Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. These six letters form two words, Kra, Satan. Kra means to tear up. Satan is the energy force that presents itself and the illusion, the physical world, in a way that we don't see cause and effect. So we therefore have free choice. For if we did see the full reality, we would never make a mistake. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar, which means gates, Katan, which means small. And it's a reminder to put guards in our gates, on our gates, which our gates, our small gates, is the entry point for the negative side, to cause us to make mistakes, to cause us to lengthen our process. We have the opportunity always to put guards on those gates, to ring the alarms when this is happening. Those words are Sha'ar Katan, small gates. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. The first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, has a gematria of 57, which is the same as the Hebrew word Zan, which means Parnassah, or sustenance. The last three letters, Yud Kaf Shin, is a sequence that we utilize to take back the energy that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkatcha tamid gamlem betetresh tzadi taf gimel. This sequence connects us to eternal victory, a level of consciousness, a level of energy. Hasim Kadosh Erov Tuha Nael Adatach Et Kufbet Tet Nunayan. This sequence connects us to the level of consciousness having to do with glory, potential manifestation, Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadiyutach. The last four letters of this verse are the six letters in this verse. The last four letters have the gematria as Ahavatinam, 506, unconditional love. The first two letters, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400 and teaches us about the four worlds in their perfected state of 10 Sephirot within 10 Sephirot, fulfilled by different manifestations of love, of unconditional love. And the eighth verse, the verse that we say in a whisper, we refer to the whisper as silently. The whisper is said so that we can hear ourselves speak, but that someone standing right next to us would not hear the words. I'm now going to read from the Zohar. section number 32, titled Blowing the Shofar. It's verse number 187, and it's from the Parsha of Emor. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenehu. Ba'chodesh ha'shvi'i be'echad la'chodesh Rabbi Yitzhak Patach Tiku Ba'chodesh shofar ba'keseh la'yom yachageinu Zakayin inun Yisrael Tekud shabarichu kariv lon legabeh Min kol umin ayin ayin zayin Vitre behu me'atar Rechi ka kariv lon Legabe ha-hidiktiv Fayomer Yehoshua el kol ha-am Ko amar Hashem Elohe Yisrael Be'ever hanahar Yashvu avotechem me'olam. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, Rabbi Yitzhak opens with blow a shofar at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. A verse from Tehillim. Happy are Israel, whom the Holy One, blessed be He, draw near, rather than all the nations in the world, and chose them. From afar He drew them near. This is the meaning of, and Joshua said to all the people, Thus says Hashem Elohim of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the river in old time. A verse from the book of Joshua. To indicate that He desired them from a distant place and drew them near Him. It is also written, And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river. We have to examine these verses. Did not the whole of Israel know this? And not Joshua all the more? Why the need to say, Thus says Hashem? Why the need to repeat these verses, or to say these verses in the first time? On its surface level, I really have no commentary on these verses, because we need to look at them each individually, and we don't have time in the opening sessions of our class tonight. Before I start the teaching for tonight, does anybody have any questions? To unmute your phone, just press *6. I'll also point out that tomorrow night is Thursday night at 10 p.m. We will have a reading from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Emor. And on Sunday morning, we will have a special conference call at 9:45 a.m. Pacific time, where I will be recording a class that I'm teaching in a fifth grade class of students at Temple Beth El in San Pedro. And we will be teaching about Rabbi Shimon and the holiday of Lag BaOmer, which is on Sunday. And next Tuesday, we are teaching a class at 7:45 p.m. If you have any subjects you'd like to have talked about, please let me know. And then again, next Wednesday night, we will continue our series of discussions about the mitzvot and the kavanah involved in each of the mitzvot. So we are talking tonight about the mitzvah to sanctify His name. And there is also a mitzvah not to profane His name. And both of these are in the same verse. That is the shorash for us, the verse in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32. And in a moment I will read it to you. Both of these mitzvot are active, valid, and obligatory to any person, man, woman, or child above the age of 13. Any place, meaning inside Israel and outside Israel, and any time, meaning when the temple existed and even after the temple existed. It's a mitzvah that's a little difficult to relate to. It's a mitzvah that's difficult to even understand. So I'm opening up a chumash to the book of Leviticus, Vayikra, chapter 32. The English is, you shall not desecrate my holy name. Rather, I should be sanctified among the children of Israel. I am Hashem who sanctifies you. And if we look at the Hebrew, desecrate comes from the Shoresh, Chet Lamed Lamed. And we will talk a bit about that first. And the word sanctify is coming from the word of kadosh, of holiness. They're in the same verse. There needs to be a connection. We need to understand the connection. So let's understand the concept of desecration. Well, even before that, let's understand the concept of the name, if as best we are able, which is not an easy concept to explain. Because the name refers to the tetragrammaton, the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. A name of God, which we and our sages teach us is the highest level of the name of God, and is inclusive of every other name of God. But we really need to understand what is in a name. And the sages teach us, if we are able to name something, then we have a connection to it. We may not truly understand the connection or the entity that we have put a name to, but the fact that we can name it establishes a relationship. I have met people in my life, and I have, in my mind, put them into a category, and I have called that category a name. I may not truly know these people. I may not truly have any connection soul connection to these people. An example is the 2 billion peasants that live in China. I have met some of these people. I heard their names. I have no connection to them other than this term I use in my mind, the peasants of China. Do I understand them? No, I do not. Do I have a connection to them? The fact that I visualize them living in a place so distant establishes a relationship. Very minimal, but a connection and relationship anyway. We call God by many names. The prophets are very clear. Learn to call Hashem properly as a protection shield from the chaos associated with the birth pangs of Mashiach, with the war of Armageddon, Gog de Magog. We have many names for God, and our sages teach us that each of these names represents a level of consciousness. It represents an attribute, a midot. It represents a connection to us. And the fact that we can use a name, call a name, say a name, gives us this connection. We may not have a full understanding or connection to a given name, but the fact that we can utilize a name means that we have a connection. The mitzvah is to not desecrate the name of God. It's clear that God cannot be desecrated. Nothing that we do in the physical world has an impact on God, because as God has told us through his prophets, our thoughts are not like his thoughts. And he also has told us through his prophets that he does not change. So nothing we do can desecrate him, whatever desecrate means. Can we desecrate a name of God, even if we cannot desecrate God? The idea of a name is defining an attribute. If that attribute doesn't change, now in our world, I can feel happy right now and 3 seconds later feel sad. We then say, I changed. But in actuality, I haven't changed. I have two attributes within me. One is happy and one is sad. When I say I'm happy, then the happy attribute is revealed, and the sad attribute is concealed. But both attributes don't change. They are always within me. That is a very deep subject, a very deep concept, and my saying it so simply, and it is a simple concept, but it is not the way we are taught to view the world. And so it takes a lot of time to think about it. God doesn't change. An attribute of God does not change. When we call God by a name, we cannot affect it. Just as I don't change from having a happy emotion to having a sad emotion, except for the concept of revelation, that is what we are talking about, this concept of revelation. So that when we say, do not sanctify, or the Torah says, do not desecrate the name of Hashem, we are not affecting Hashem, but we will be speaking of revelation and concealment of this attribute called desecration. What is this attribute called that we call desecration? What is the meaning of it? The shoresh of the word that is translated as desecration is chet lamed lamed, a gematria of 68. Now, 68 is a very interesting, powerful number. 68 is the gematria of Chaim, life. Desecration is the other side of the coin called life. Wait a second. The other side of the coin of life is death. I'm alive or I'm not. If I'm not alive, I'm dead. We will come to understand, hopefully, that desecration is actually death. And is it, I mean, God forbid. God is dead. God forbid. No, God is not dead. The name of God is not dead. Not in the absolute sense, but in a relative sense. When God is concealed, when this attribute is concealed, it is considered death. Just as when I have a desire to receive in order to share, it is considered sharing, not receiving. Let's understand chalel, desecration. The word chalel has a number of meanings, one of which is space, as in that final frontier. To quote the Star Wars or Star Trek series, one of its words is vacuum. One of its words is curse. One of its words is devastation. What is space? What is a vacuum? Well, in truth, according to science, we can never achieve a complete vacuum. There will always be something in that space that can be measured. If only we had instruments that sensitive. But vacuum, in a scientific sense, is when we pump air out of a bottle. And we pump and we pump and we pump until the air pressure that we can measure has been reduced as close as possible to zero. That is a vacuum. That is nothingness. There can be no life in a vacuum in the context that we typically talk about life, not in the context of consciousness, because vacuum has a consciousness. But there is no life, there's no breath, there's no ability to breathe, there's no ability to transfer energy, which is what breath comes down to. Do not desecrate the name of Hashem. Do not conceal it. Do not cause it to go into hiding. This is the mitzvah. In what way do we make Hashem, the name of Hashem, go into hiding? When we do actions that bring impurity into a space, we cause the attribute of Hashem, His name, to be concealed by the impurity. The impurity latches on to the energy of that name, and we perceive it as concealed. What consciousness should we have when we talk about desecration? Well, first off, we are not desecrating. We are told not to desecrate. So we should not have a consciousness to achieve desecration. But there is a funny thing about our minds. It does not work in the negative. Our sages teach us that our judgments come from our own lips, and that it will come from the statements many times where we have said in the negative as a joke, as a satirical attempt at humor. Don't do something. And our minds understand it as do something. Because our minds do not function in the do not, in the negative. Our minds only perceive the words themselves. They do not perceive the negative of the word. And yet we have many mitzvot, 365, one of which is, do not desecrate the name of God. Do not conceal the name of God. Do not bring impurity into space, into the bottle, into the consciousness. This is a very deep concept. Do not create space between one thing and another. In spirituality, what brings affinity, what brings closeness, is affinity. What brings closeness is having similar consciousness. Desecration and sanctification are opposites. There's no affinity. Do not desecrate. Does not change the consciousness. It only veils the consciousness. Let's start talking a bit about sanctification. It's such a religious word. Sanctify. It's an action of elevation. To be holy, someone must, something, someone, some entity must be outside of the item, object, consciousness that is holy, that is kadosh. And the action of elevating it from where it is to where it becomes is the action of sanctification. It's the action to sanctify. This is the name of God that we are given the obligation to sanctify. And then in this verse it says that I am God who is holy. Again, teaching us that we cannot cause God anything. We cannot change God. We do not make God holy, but we are given a mitzvah to sanctify the name of God, meaning reveal the name of God, meaning do not desecrate, meaning don't veil the light of God. Veiling, bringing impurity into a bottle, into the vacuum, into the world, and not separating impurity is the same thing. Because our minds do not recognize the negative. The mitzvah of sanctification of the name of God is a simple statement, reveal the name of God. But if I am thinking about myself, my consciousness is about my lacks, can I sanctify the name of God? Or am I veiling the name of God, desecrating the name of God? These two mitzvot are complementary. They work together in opposite ways. When I am not desecrating the name of God, I am helping to sanctify it. When I am sanctifying the name of God, I am not desecrating the name of God. They are complementary. They work together. Does going to temple on Saturday morning to hear the Torah read from the scroll. Sanctify God's name. It's one of the mitzvot. And on a general level, the answer is yes, it does sanctify the name of God. Because either we sanctify the name of God, or we desecrate the name of God at each and every instant of the process called life. Planting a seed in the ground to grow can be a mitzvah, or it can be a desecration. It can be a sanctification, an elevation to holiness, or a lowering, a withdrawal, a bringing back to the mundane. What should be the consciousness when I do any action? The desire to receive in order to share. To not be reactive in whatever action I'm doing. To have stopped my reaction and transformed the desire to receive to be one of sharing. A simple concept, very easy for me to say, very hard for me to live up to. Why do we use the word sanctification and desecration? Because our sages, and consistent with the plan of God, used a vessel called Judaism. That vessel was used and is being used today to conceal the name of God. To desecrate, because ultimately we do not need this vessel called sanctification, this vessel called desecration. But for 2,000 years since the destruction of the temple, and for 3,000 years before that, we did need these terms. We did need this religion. We did need this understanding as a way of elevating. But in today's world, we don't need to call it sanctification and desecration. We can refer to it as revelation and concealment. We need to respect and we need to understand from where we come. What was this religion? Why was it set up and active the way it is? By the same token, we need to realize that the secular world, the people who have run from the religion, the people who have moved away from being close to God, find the word sanctification and desecration absurd. We don't need to use these words. The mitzvah is to reveal the light of God, to reveal the name of God, to learn to call the name of God properly. Does anyone have any questions? I invite you to join me in my future classes, as I mentioned earlier. I invite you to consider what I have said tonight. Do not believe a word I say, but please try what I suggest to you, which is to constantly have in your consciousness a desire to share rather than a desire to receive for oneself alone. That's the message. That's the consciousness. Please try. Shalom. Kol Tov to all.